Gotta love Mercury.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
That was funny.
It was really funny.
Okay. So, today is Wednesday, April 26, 2017, and this is the new moon session. Did I say 2016?
You said April 26, 2017.
Okay. So I'm going to say it again, and this is just so appropriate for this session tonight. So everybody who's not on the call, so far it's me and Teresa, and Chris hasn't been able to get through. So it feels like this is going to be a very intimate session, and it feels very significant in terms of when I tap into the energy outside of my immediate surrounds, it feels, and all of the people that I'm in contact with, I feel a multiple dynamics. I feel a sense of depletion from a great many people, and I feel a sense of depletion seems to be the best word to describe it, actually, because it feels like people are in this moment, in this sense of kind of scatteredness and confusion. And the reason that Teresa and I were laughing was because, first of all, people can't seem to get on the call. And secondly, because the recording said it was recording and then wasn't recording, and then now it's recording again. So communication is really interesting tonight.
It's hilarious.
So I'm really grateful, Teresa, that you're here. And it feels kind of appropriate because you and I were doing these sessions for a long time, and then you kind of stepped out, and that's okay. And yet it feels like this, it's significant that you're back on tonight when nobody else can get on.
It does feel that way.
So,
it definitely feels that way.
So I'm just going to actually state, like, Norma's intention was trust. And Cress is saying, it's not letting me join in. So she's going to lay in bed and receive the session. And that is another theme that I'm hearing from people. Like Angela said, she just wants to receive more, you know, receive more. And I feel like that's a key, too, because I feel like a good bulk of the population is in this hesitant kind of static and or chaotic, and perhaps a little bit of in and out of that, like this jerky kind of motion, like kind of like this communication tonight, like this, this jerky motion of forward motion, screech, stop, halt. And then this confusion over the screech, stop, halt. And when I did that, I actually saw like a four-way stop sign, and like the car stopped by itself at the stop sign, and then the driver is kind of looking around going, which way do I go? So it feels like that. It feels like everybody is in this mode of uncertainty, and those of us who have been doing this work for a very long time have a deep abiding trust. At least that's my sense. I know I have a deep abiding trust that everything is all is well. Even in the world, even in the state of chaos and pain that is going around the world, I still have this deep abiding sense that all is well in the bigger picture, and that it will be revealed to us shortly, whatever shortly means.
Right, and trust also is a part, I feel like I need to say this, is a part of our ability to receive.
Yes, very
because
much
if
so.
We're not, because if we're not in trust, then we don't receive at the level that we're capable of.
Exactly. And if you would turn up your speaker a little bit, please. Because you're kind
that.
Of quiet, so I would like you to be heard.
Is that better?
That
is that
better, thank you. That is much better, thank you. So, yeah, and that's very valid. It's kind of like there are multiple dynamics that trust is a big thing in being able to receive. You're absolutely correct. If you don't trust, then you're putting up blinders or blocks to actually being able to receive what's available to you because, well, you're not trusting. And if you're not trusting, you're doubting everything and causing a total blockage in flow.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's the trust factor. It's also the clarity factor. And the clarity, there's even confusion over the clarity factor, because the clarity doesn't mean I see the total outcome. So I think that's a block, that people think clarity means I need to see every step and the total outcome, or I can't trust mm-hmm. that I'm making the right decision. And clarity is not that at all. The clarity is being so present in the moment that when something presents itself to you, you can take a breath and go, yes.
Yes.
I know that's the right move.
And it's in this moment, this now, this immediacy.
Absolutely in the moment. I actually just saw a giant chessboard, and I'm not a chess player, but it's like I saw the chess piece being moved, and I saw the chess player going, yes.
Cool.
That was the right move. I knew it. I knew that if I just paid attention and listened, that it would all become clear. And I think that's what it is. It's all becoming clear, but we're so distrusting, so fearful, that we're putting up blocks and blinders.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another. There's so many aspects to this, and feel free to interrupt, Teresa. So I'm just kind of going with the flow. The other aspect I'm seeing is something I just shared recently about Carolyn Mace, and she was talking very much about. It went out of my head. That's fascinating. So I'll come back to that. So what I'm seeing, though, is this state of confusion is coming from multiple factors. And, oh, it's the victim-blame dynamic. It's like we are so frightened to just be in the moment. And I say we collectively. I'm speaking for the collective whole, actually. And even those of us who trust, there is a subconscious programming that has been set up historically for us in our patterning, in our family dynamics, in our previous experiences of doubt and fear. And so when we feel that way, we tend to go in that victim mode of blaming situations, people, circumstances, our history, our childhood, our parents, our traumas from the past. And it's not to negate those traumas, but I'm feeling like it's very important to actually claim them and embrace them and then move forward with them. And another thing that Carolyn said and that made perfect sense to me and fits right in with what we're doing tonight is that it's important to not share your suffering. It's not to share suffering. We're meant to share the wisdom we've gained from our experiences.
And I think there's a piece about that that is really important, that is differentiating sharing suffering and sharing wisdom. Because
yes.
Sometimes in sharing wisdom, we have to tell aspects of our story.
Yes.
But that is very different than sharing suffering. And the thing that I think that we're partly working through here is our culture has become embedded with connection through suffering.
Yes.
Versus connection through celebration, connection
yes.
through aliveness and vitality, and connection through sorrow, which is different than suffering.
Yes.
Because our culture doesn't allow for grief.
No.
To be expressed. And part of the reason we suffer is because we are holding on to our our fear of grieving, because grieving opens up for loss addressing the layers of loss, and it's easier to to just hide from it.
Yeah.
Versus just owning it so that it can move through.
And part of that,
and
again,
it's not
is a collective consciousness.
Exactly, and it's not even owning it. It's about, like, versus acknowledging it.
And embracing it. I do think there is an owning and an embracing it. The embracing of it is to embrace the sorrow and to cry even with yourself and with the loss that you've experienced, whether it's the loss of a person, place, or thing, or the loss of a childhood, the loss of, mm-hmm. there's a lot of loss.
Well, and
if
I
you think about it,
think,
you're right.
And I guess what I say about owning it, it's like, mm-hmm. I want to make sure that there's an embracing of it, but not owning it, and that we become victimized by it.
Exactly.
So there's a difference there, too. And, you know, just really being mindful of that.
Yes. Well, and I like that you're clarifying that, because that too often things can be taken so literal, and there is a discerning dynamic that is important in every aspect of what we do. And so discernment is a big key, too, because I see, like, the sorting of the wheat and chaff. It's coming into biblical terms now. Or the sorting of the small intestine as it's sorting out the nutrients from the waste, or distributing and sorting out the nutrients to the appropriate place, the appropriate microbiome, the appropriate, just the place where it's best served and serving. And so that sorting dynamic is something that I think we get overwhelmed with.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I'm going to bring in the three brains, because I just took this class with John, and I've been working with it anyway, but he just really deepened that for me. And part of the overwhelm is that our brain system, our evolutionary brain, is our three brain systems. And, I mean, it's not just that even literally, because really every aspect of our being has a brain, and they all have different functions.
Mm-hmm.
But when they don't work together, then we cut off our accessibility to the strength that each one of them gives, and we also cut off our accessibility, period, to the strength of our brain, to the strength of our heart, to the strength of our instinct. So we cut off our analyzing, intuiting, instinctual, because that's the way the brains work, cut out that ability of putting together a bigger picture to make a more helpful, a more discerned decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so our head is overwhelmed because we have so been stuck in our head brain and been told that that is the real brain, even though science is proving that differently now, we're still antiquated in the way that we've been functioning. And that's the evolution that's happening. We are evolving as a species, but we haven't biologically caught up with that because we're still working with old paradigms. Even though those paradigms have shifted a long time ago, we still appear to live in them.
Mm-hmm. And there's a piece around that that's coming through, too, and that is that part of the reason we hold ourselves in those old paradigms is because of our fear, hence our lack of trust. And And the thing around that is fear, you know, fear of being vulnerable, fear of being authentic, fear of being who we really are, only comes up when we are still seeking approval from others.
Yeah, it's a very primal thing. I just saw as you were saying that the image of you know, the survival instinct, the image of being cast out of the tribe and freezing or starving or being eaten. So
Exactly. Basically,
it's a life or death threat that is no longer applicable, but we keep carrying it and making it applicable.
And we're actually being called to love ourselves more, accept ourselves more.
Yes. And I'm going to add something that I've been adding to all my sessions, thanks to Norman. It helps, I think, to ease the struggle within ourselves in terms of receiving that gift, receiving that information. And when I say receiving that, it's that dynamic of, you said, we're being called to love ourselves more. And I'm going to add, even if we don't know what that means, because many of us don't.
I agree with that.
We hear the words, but we still have a limited access to our lovability in terms of our ability to love and our ability to allow ourselves to be loved.
Exactly, and that's actually especially true in the shamanistic tradition,
mm-hmm.
is that in order to really get something in your body, don't think it through, just do it.
Yes. Yes.
Because that allows for the being. Because when we go into the thinking mode, we lose sight of our being.
Yeah. We lift ourselves out of our, now I understand the dynamic of, I've often made jokes about people saying, I'm in my head all the time, I'm not in my body. And I've often laughed because I've thought, well, the brain is part of the body, it just doesn't know that. And but that gives a deepening for me in terms of the understanding of us feeling so cut off from our body because we've been cut ourselves off from the triune, from the Trinity, actually, from the Trinity.
That's it.
So,
because when we cut ourselves off from the Trinity, we cut ourselves off from Spirit flowing through us.
Exactly. And I'm going to throw another biblical thing in here. So for those who have issues, forgive me and or tap into it in your own way. It's like exactly, because it has to do with the three brains, and it has to do with in the body talk work. As you know, we tap, and we used to tap the head and heart, and I added the abdomen, and John has added the abdomen, so the pelvic, but it's kind of the hara over the navel, and the concept is the Trinity: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And really, and I think I've said this before on a previous call, it's really the creative spirit embodied as the sun or the body, the human being, and then putting that into action, which would be the Holy Spirit. That's putting it into action in the world. And that's really what I think we're all being called for. We're actually being called out. I hear we're being called out. And ironic, we're being called out and nobody could get on the call. <That's kind of interesting. laughs> Oh, I see one other person just joined us. Hi. So if you want to say hi, you're welcome to. Otherwise, welcome. So, but I feel that's important. I feel like we are urgently being called out. It's like, hey. You're being called out, which means it's time for you to come out into the world and actually put yourself into action. Put your big self into action, not your little mini me self.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are answering that call to be put into action, but they're putting little mini me into action because they're it's interesting because I have several people who are pointing out the ills of the world, and I made a conscious decision that I will do everything I can within my power and my ability to influence in a positive, affirmative way, and I will not give airtime to the ills of the world. So I feel like it's the struggle, the soul trying to come out, and the ego kind of getting a little bit, taking it and running with it in terms of, again, the victim blame consciousness. That's a disempowered stance, and I think our souls are saying, you're being called out, no more disempowerment. Mm-hmm. It's time mm-hmm. for you to be empowered.
I agree.
So let's tap that in. Good idea. Yeah, let's just breathe and tap until it feels right to move on. And I'm tapping the head, the heart, and the
Hara.
Yeah, the Hara. Hara, because that's where our worldly power comes in. And when it's soul powered, it's like no limits. I just saw that. It's like the Hara is when the soul power taps in, there's no limits. And I feel like I just saw a little switch being turned on in the cellular membrane, in the cell structure of each of us, those on the call and those energetically in the call. It's like a switch being turned on. It's like turning on that soul power. And I actually saw like a pilot light being turned on, and I'm asking, can that be gentle, please? Please don't set us internally on fire again.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So,
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I want the spark of creation and the flame of the soul power, and I want my body to thrive in it, not be burnt alive.
Mm-hmm. So, I agree. I'm with you on that.
For anybody listening to this, we have firsthand experience of this, and I'm not calling this in for anybody. That said, I don't control anybody's experience, but I'm just asking for grace. And everybody's awakening. And I say everybody's awakening because that's what it feels like. It feels like we awaken a little bit, and then we awaken a little bit more, and then we awaken a little bit more, and then we awaken a little bit more. So it's not like, ta-da, one day I'm in bliss state and I'm awake. It's a continual evolution as long as we're present in these bodies on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about being okay with that and recognizing there will be moments of discomfort, which is the other theme that I'm noticing with everybody, especially myself, that there is a discomfort. But the discomfort is simply, it's that confused place, and it's showing up sometimes physically, sometimes emotionally, very often mentally, in terms of where do I go, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it's really particularly important to get quiet and to take a moment and breathe.
Right, and to get quiet and trust ourselves instead of always looking to someone else for the answer.
Exactly, but we really can't trust ourselves till we get quiet. So it's in those crazy making moments when we're like running around like chickens with our head cut up. That's the most important time to just sit down and get quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And meditate or chant or do a session on yourself or receive a session from someone outside yourself. It's really important to just make sure that you make decisions and make choices. It's important that as we move forward to make choices from as conscious a state as possible instead mm-hmm. of the fearful state. Because I can guarantee you if you make decisions from the fearful state, you're pretty much going to regret it because you're attracting that energy. So, and that doesn't mean fear is an enemy. Fear is not an enemy. Fear is our friend if we listen to it. Fear mm-hmm. in its healthy form is our intuitive insights that say, pay attention. And when we pay attention, the information flows through as long as we're not holding our breath.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw an interesting image of the sun and the moon coming together. That was quite beautiful, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like, oh my God, destruction. It was like this merging, this joining, this. it was just this merging and this joining, almost like this lover's connection, the yin and the yang. And then I see them coming apart. This is becoming like a movement with my hand. But the coming apart is not really coming apart. It's just like the breath or like the rhythm of life, the merging and the space between. So the coming together and the space between. We need the space between.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the space between is where we recognize ourselves. Where we see one another and we recognize ourselves. So it's this beautiful rhythmic breath. Oscillation, dance, whatever you want to call it, of life. Coming together and taking a breath and coming apart. Nice. And I feel like the heart needs some tenderness right now. Like a very gentle tapping, a very gentle a saying of, I see you, I feel you, I know you. And then I see the vagus nerve going up the head. And I'm seeing the meridians, actually the gold, but the meridians going, circulating, cycling through the head. And there's such a willingness and a longing to actually oscillate through the whole body, which it does without thinking. Ah, that was beautiful. So I feel like the circulatory energy going all around us. In all directions, up and down and all around. Just circulate, everything circulating again. But it has this beautiful sensual energy, like, ooh. And almost this rhythmic energy, like when you see jellyfish in the ocean, and they look so beautiful to me. This is what I'm seeing and feeling. Yeah. You can go ahead, Teresa. I'm still in it.
So one of the things that's coming up with all of that is the value of being in the pause.
The value of what?
Being in the pause.
Yes.
The pause. The pause is where a lot of the juices. And that's part
you said
of the
pause,
flow.
Right? P-A-U-S-E?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
And that's part of our being called to slow down, our being called to breathe, our being called to listen.
Yes.
And to find value in that pause and to really embrace the pause and be in a space of friending it, so to speak.
Yes.
Allowing ourselves to be friends with the pause.
Yes. And those who have been with us long know that these sessions have totally altered. I mean, they're always different, but they are less busy in terms
of
all of the links and all of it. It's like I feel like a lot of the links are happening on their own as long as we allow them the space.
Well, right, exactly, because the pause and the space help to simplify.
Yes.
And therefore it's easier to access.
Very much so.
I'd like to bring in the deep healing energy of... Yes,
I can barely hear you, but I can hear you made it.
Can you hear me now?
Very faintly, Chris.
Oh, could I speak louder? Is that better?
Yes.
Yeah. I just wanted to bring in...
Hold your mic a little closer.
Yeah, please. You there? Don't tell me we lost you. Okay.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
You're still very, very faint. We can hear you, but you're very, very faint.
Maybe I try with another phone. I call in again.
No.
Speak louder.
No, just go ahead. Speak louder.
Okay, I speak louder. It has been all about my my voice speaking up and coming out.
Interesting.
Yeah. No, I wanted to bring in the stillness, a deep healing space of lying completely still and feeling so deeply into the body, like to really go in so deeply and be with everything, feel everything, and allowing this. And releasing this guilt around this being still. It's like there's a film of guilt that jumps in. Oh, why are you just lying around?
Yes.
No, we have to sometimes, like these rhythms, we need to heal, to be still. And that can take sometimes days. Or like we can put a limit on it. Oh, it's an hour, it's enough now. No, sometimes it can be a week or a month or a year. And to free this really up and allow ourselves to lie if we need to, and to really become conscious and listen to what our being wants to, needs, what we need. And then linking, feeling all these cords we have to other people and other people in us, that they expect us to do something. Oh, she's my mother, she has to make me breakfast. Oh, he's my partner, he has to come and be with me. All these expectations that interfere in this, because we are in this moment right where we are meant to be. This acceptance of everything is right how it is right now. And that drops, it feels like that collapses a whole domino row of questions and belief systems. I'm just seeing this row of, oh, click, and now this this whole row goes, and almost like erases all these links that are attached to this string. And I kept last night writing this question, why is he not here? And the answer was always, the answer was laughing. He's not here because he's not here. He's not meant to be here. And it was laughing. It was, and I kept writing the question, and the deepest answers came until I was, oh my gosh, the secret, that's there. It was like coming to this original question of why.
Yeah.
But there is no answer, because it's all, we are all meant to where we are right now.
Yes.
And this collapses against so much and allows healing in the body to happen, actually, without this why interfering all the time. I'm just feeling that dripping in the body through all of our different parts, wherever it is in us. The formula, I feel, that's going to run for the next moon cycle, until the next full moon, I feel, to really percolate in us. Yeah, so...
Feels right, yeah.
I feel to tap that gently wherever head, heart, belly, and any body parts that want to be tapped.
Yeah.
And these energy cords, to really pull them back from us and release them to others, to get off other people's back of what we expect from them and them from us, to clear our boundary, strengthen the way chi so we don't even allow that anymore, and we don't do it first, then others won't do it to us.
Exactly. Yeah. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Very beautiful.
I feel like there is, with that, just in tapping that in, I'm also like holding the forehead above the eyes, and it's kind of like lifting, it's like almost like opening the eyelid of the third eye in the at the prefrontal cortex level to allow that sense of presence. Almost like when I'm, it's like the eyelid is being held open. It's almost like this sense of wonder, like, whoa, I haven't seen this way before. And a sense of gratitude, actually, from this area in saying thank you for assisting. Thank you for assisting the vision. Thank you for assisting ourselves. Thank you for assisting this process and allowing it to occur momentarily, moment by moment by moment.
Also hear this voice of be excited. Don't be like, oh, this hesitance of, oh, my mother is going to come. Oh, how do I feel about it? No, be excited. Like be excited every day to get up and see the sunset and everything for every hour we have.
Yes.
Yes.
So essential.
Yes.
It comes out of the deepest belly, where I'm feeling all this tension of in all the small intestine, all wound up of questions of why, not, and to unravel that all and link to the prefrontal cortex as well, unraveling, and to allow this excitement from the deepest of our gut to come up.
Yes.
Yes.
I do feel, it's like all of a sudden I feel like a little kid. I'm like tapping my legs going, yes, I'm so excited. What's next?
And I want to bring in I often bring in animals. Like I have this baby magpie here that comes all the time, and he's so playful and he's so meditative, both at the same time.
Beautiful.
He's growing up and he is still playful. Just want to bring him in.
Yes. Nice. And there's something, you just mentioned the animals. Recently, we have a dove that is interesting to me because it's like she's chasing away the crows from the water. It's like the crows start, they're like hogging the water. We put out water for the birds, and the crows try to take over the water and don't share well. And I see this dove, and she's very loud, and she's chasing these crows away, and I'm like, wow, that is fascinating. I've never seen a dove act like that before. But I had a sense of it this morning. There's like a flaring up inside of again, the soul and this kind of inert action, and the soul saying, come on. It's like assert yourself. And assert yourself meaning not aggressively, but assert yourself like, again, come out. But there are moments where the assertion comes from this place of, okay, I feel like I'm really being pushed from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And so this push is this inner urge, this inner lighting, this inner fire that is saying, come on, don't be so wimpy and wishy-washy with your presence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, actually, Norman said to me this morning, he made a comment, he said, don't walk on eggs. And I thought, wow, I didn't think I was, but he was right. I was walking on eggs in that moment, and my soul just kind of went, okay, no, I'm saying no this time. and I'm saying no, not because I'm stopping the flow, but because the wishy-washiness and the, okay, I'll be cooperative to my own detriment is stopping the flow.
Mm-hmm.
So the clarity again, the clarity, the discernment, the life force is being lit up. And it's saying, again, and the life force does not come from a place of why. The life force comes from a place of wahoo.
Yeah.
Or in Sanskrit, vahe, vahe, vahe guru, meaning wow, the inner guru is waking up. So it's really coming from this place of empowerment, and it's like the life force is saying, quit putting me out.
Mm-hmm.
Keep me on. Keep the light on. Keep the light on. It's interesting. And that doesn't mean no darkness. It means just keep the light on. Don't try to put it out. Don't try to extinguish the fire.
Don't try to extinguish the fire and don't try to avoid the darkness, because the darkness
exactly.
has its nuggets too.
Exactly, because you need the light to see the darkness.
And you need to know the dark to know the light.
Exactly.
It's the polarity.
It's the sun and the moon doing their dance together, the yin and the yang. And there's another essence to that. You just said the polarity. And what I'm seeing, and as I mentioned this before in a previous session, it's not just the polarity. It's the nuances in between that we miss.
Yes. And
we tend to seesaw back and forth between the two, and we miss the rise and fall.
And the milli and the many colors in between.
Yes. So it's that inner eye, that eyelid being opened, saying, yes, okay, finally you're listening. So it is. It's bringing the senses to a new level, a new heightened level of awareness, and integrating them as part of this program that you mentioned, Chris, integrating them in a way that brings a deepening. A deepening and a more active presence. And the active presence doesn't mean don't lie still. That means stillness is part of being active. It means recognizing that stillness is part of every movement, and movement is in stillness. So it's about recognizing your own cycles and rhythms and embracing them and allowing yourself to show up.
Yeah.
Because when we show up, we quit questioning why is somebody else not showing up. Then there's no lack.
I said last night strongly the energies and still of the Australian Aboriginals that used to be living here on the land I live, the Kombumeri people, and they had such a strong connection to the animals and the plants And they also had really distinguished roles as what the men were doing and what the women were doing. And there wasn't any lack of confusion. They were all fully in their soul journey, and nobody was interfering with each other, as it feels.
Right.
And then when the Westerners came, and especially when they started clearing the land and killing the trees, that's when they felt really upset, and it really changed everything. So it feels like also to really tune in where we are living, to that land.
Yeah.
What happened there before. I want to also send into this session this strong Australian natural people that used to live here, that were just, they were so in touch with everything. Their awareness was so high with everything in nature.
Yes, and it's my understanding that the Aborigines had another gift that we have forgotten, and that is, and I believe they didn't name their children a certain name and label them for the rest of their lives. They waited till the gifts appeared before they gave them a name, and
yes.
then their names actually changed as their gifts evolved. So they weren't stagnant in a role, but they were clearly in a role when they were in it. So they allowed that evolution within themselves, within that connection within nature, within the earth.
And this dream time, they allowed themselves to dream and create in that way. Been really feeling creativity, questioning what, how am I being creative? How does it start? How am I creative and where? How is that for all of us? And where is it blocked? And where are we? When is even our time to be most creative? We've been so trained in school, oh, it's got to be morning. No, it might be night, to really find our own rhythm and time again.
Yes.
In connection with the earth and where we are.
Yes. And I'm glad you brought up the trees, too. The trees, I have a very strong heart connection with the trees. And
me too.
Well, I think we all do. And personally, I've been losing a lot of hair myself. And I'm getting, it's very much associated with the trees. And if you look at the trees and the water elements, the elements and the way that we are polluting the environment, it's like the trees are not able to take in the water, and too many are being chopped down. So it's thoroughly altering the terrain of where it's being all knocked, chopped down, as well as the terrain of the earth. And we are essentially a hologram of the earth. So I feel like the trees are a very strong relation to that. And so I have been intentionally tapping into the energy of the trees and just asking for their roots to be connected in a way where they nourish and sustain one another, and that radiates out into our world in such a way that our consciousness wakes up, even the industries. To a point where it's like there is a sense of shifting the Wei Qi around the trees and around the groves and around the planet within and without us, to bring back that sense of vibrancy and vitality and tantra, that the giving and receiving, because trees, I feel more than any other being, they're tantric. You know, they breathe what we dispose of, and we breathe what they dispose of. So it's like we need that tantra with the trees, and the trees, well, they don't really need us, but they're willing to work with us if we work with them. They don't have any grudges. They just want to actually be respected as well. So, in a sense, it's working with the roots of the trees and the essence and energy of the trees and the Wei Qi outside of us as well as internally with us.
I'm feeling the fungi network around the trees.
Yep.
It travels the information and spread that really around.
Yes. And I'm actually asking for their assistance, the fungi network, for their assistance to make it in such a way that we as humans in our obtuseness actually get it. You know, it's like, okay, can you make it so clear that it's undeniable to us before it's too late? In other words, before it becomes a crisis. So can you help us wake up? And we will do our best in our collective to energize our own networks to wake them up and wake ourselves up. Again, our own networks are internal as well as all of us.
I feel the birds too that are sitting on the trees. And some of their songs are so potent. Also, depending on where we live, it can be striking every morning to hear all of the birds. And it's like they are also, I mean, they're singing to claim their territory, but they can also be spreading the message over such far distances. And then when they travel, climate change, and they travel to other countries also, they can, like, spread the messages from that country to that country, and their song can infuse it like into our ears that
yes,
you really get it.
Yes. That's
it's the missionary work.
Yes. I love it. I have such a resonance. Huh?
What?
I will send a link to the page of the Kurawongs here in Australia. They have a very poignant song. And I've been hearing them and seeing them a lot in the last few days, hearing them sing and how they move their body. I post a link to that. And they call each other over a very long distance. I hear one here and then another one responds from really far away, and they communicate. And it's fascinating to hear that. And I'm also linking that to all our invisible communication that is happening all the time with when we think of someone, all the energetic communication that is happening between us. And it feels like a big cleanup of that, to be really consciously aware of what am I thinking, who am I thinking of, would I be comfortable even sharing my thoughts, or if someone could see my thoughts, and to be so in our integrity, because they are powerful and they are as real as allowed communication.
Very much so. That's beautiful. Thank you. That's perfect. I see that happening. Beautiful. I've been noticing that too in the birds. We have a tiny little backyard, but we have a whole menagerie of birds, and they're very strong in their voice. They've been teaching me speak up. But never in anger. I just heard. But never in anger. Because that's what I'm hearing. It's like the heart can be forceful in its assertion, but it's never in anger. It comes from a place of force, of power, but not anger. So it doesn't linger in an angry state, and it doesn't make yourself or another person wrong, not when it's pure and true.
Exactly, and that's not to say that anger is bad. It's simply to say
no.
It's not heard when it's in anger. So it has to come from the place of, you know, that power.
Yes.
Instead.
And anger gets things moving. Doubt about it. And
I
yet,
just wanted to clarify that so people wouldn't deny it.
Yeah, no. That's good. Thank you. Because, again, it gets things moving. But it's when we linger in that state of blaming someone. That's the pathological anger.
It is.
Everything has potential for well-being and pathology. Just depends on our integrity, our intention, our discernment, our conscious awareness of it. So we're calling in that conscious awareness of it for us now. Wow. This is very powerful. And I just now looked at the clock and saw it's after 9 now. So does anybody have anything else? I feel like this is put into motion. It will run it, like Chris said, through the next moon cycle.
I think we're complete.
I feel complete. Chris?
Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you both so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you both. I love it. What did you say?
I said excitingly complete.
Exactly.
I'm
exactly.
So excited.
That's perfect.
Oh. Thank you, everyone.
Thank
I'm actually going to stop the recording right now, okay? And then if anybody wants to say anything, they can.